Maria Dudzak, and this morning we are going to check in to find out what the Ketchikan Emergency Operations Center is up to and what the local response is to the COVID-19 pandemic. Joining us this morning, we have Abner Hoag, who's the incident commander of the Ketchikan Emergency Operations Center, and also Rodney Dial, the borough mayor, and Bob Sievertson, city mayor in Ketchikan. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning, Maria.
Excellent.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining me. And let's start off a little bit about the, just quickly talking about the Ketchikan Emergency Operations Center. What does it do and what role does it play?
I guess I'll start with that for you, Maria. The Ketchikan Emergency Operations Center is really it's a coordination center is what an emergency operations center is. The idea, the concept behind emergency operations centers are that they're all hazard response, meaning we can respond to any kind of a disaster, whether it's man-made or natural disaster like an earthquake or a hurricane to a fire to, in this case, a pandemic. And EOCs are operated at different levels of government. And the idea behind them is when a city government, for example, operates their EOC and they need additional resources, they would reach out to the next higher level of EOC. In many places around the state, that would be a borough EOC. And then if the borough can help, they will. And if they can't, they would forward that request on to the state EOC to get the resources necessary. In our case, we operate a joint EOC. So when we can't coordinate the resources locally among the two cities or the borough, then we would reach out to the next level, which is the state EOC, and request that support. We also provide situational awareness and some planning for the response in this case.
And so today we are specifically speaking about the response to COVID-19. Can you tell us a bit about current cases? Where are we at right now? How are things looking?
So as of yesterday evening, we were at 10 active cases, 32 recovered cases, and no one is currently hospitalized. Throughout the duration of the COVID-19 incident, there have been two Ketchikan residents that have been hospitalized at different times. In the past 7 days, over the past 2 weeks, we saw a significant increase in cases. As you may recall, last week, daily, we were adding new cases as we learned about them. So one of the things that we've started tracking is a 7-day trend to see if our case counts and these indicators of our risk are going up or down. And in the past 7 days, as we got through that big peak last week, we're starting to see them trend down just a little bit. We're still not back in the middle of kind of a safe range that I would like to be, but we're getting closer every day. We are getting all of our contact investigations done within 48 hours. We have no cases in a congregate setting like the seafood industry. We have had no new cases in the past 7 days for those. We've had 3 new travel cases over the past 7 days, and we've had 2 cases of community transmission in the past 7 days. But our positivity rate or percent positive rate of testing is less than 1%. It's at 0.65%, so that's really good rate as well.
I was going to say, how do we compare to other areas? Some places are certainly having very serious problems. It sounds as though we're in fairly good shape, or how would you phrase it?
We're in fairly good shape. The state as a whole, I believe, is in the between 3% and 4% positivity rate currently. Might be pushing 5%. Places that you're seeing really big outbreaks, like when Texas and Florida were doing really bad, or New York, they were up in the double digit percentages for positivity, 15, 16, 17%, or in some cases more. Generally speaking, depends on your community and what that threshold is really that your community can handle. The more healthcare you have, the more cases you can handle. But in general, 2 to 3% is normally the point where places start to get concerned that they need to add some extra measures. For us, we start looking at those around 1% just because we have a smaller population. We test a little bit less. And so we will see that percent positive at a lower percent be a bigger impact for our community.
Okay, and I'll get into a couple of other questions. I do want to point out this is a opportunity to call in with your questions. So if you do have some questions for Abner Hoag, the incident commander of the Ketchikan Emergency Operations Center, Borough Mayor Rodney Dial, or Ketchikan City Mayor Bob Sievertson, give us a call. The numbers are 225-9655. 1-800-557-5723. And let me go ahead and speak to our mayors. Let me start off with you, Ketchikan City Mayor Bob Sievertson. What is the City Council doing? How is the City Council responding to this?
Thank you for the question. The City Council continues to monitor the situation in regards to travel into the community, the community spread, or other issues in regards to how the rest of the state is responding. The EOC makes recommendations to the council in regards if there's any concerns or trends, and we'll make a suggestion of what some of those mitigations may be. We're working on risk levels, and Abner can talk to those later, to where as we see if there is a rise, and hopefully there won't be, that we can make appropriate responses. I want to, you know, shout out to the fact that the community of Ketchikan is doing a really good job. The governor has called for us to take the next 3 weeks and just really pay attention to what we're doing to see if we can reduce the spread in our communities, and they're going to implement some travel mandates that may help us with that. But the council listens to our EOC. We get updates at our council meetings, and where necessary, we will respond.
Okay, and let me ask you, Borough Mayor Rodney Dial, how is the Borough Assembly responding?
Morning, Maria, and thank you for this opportunity. I can reassure the citizens of the community that we're probably managing this better than most communities in Alaska and also around the country. So just to give you a kind of an idea, we're assisting in the implementation of state directives. We're participating in frequent EOC and policy meetings. We're coordinating the distribution of CARES Act funds in the community for our businesses and affected individuals. We participate in public service announcements frequently, safe operation of borough facilities, and quite a bit more. So I can tell you that the people of this community should really take a lot of pride in the fact that we've gone through this pandemic. We've had no deaths. We've had no serious illnesses. We've had a flat curve from the beginning, and we've done that without restrictive mandates. So I think we're doing pretty good.
Okay, and that sparked a bunch of questions from me, but we do have a caller with a question. And I will have to apologize to the caller. We have kind of a different phone system set up here since I am speaking to everyone through Zoom. So hopefully they will be able to hear your question. And if not, I will need to repeat that for them. But joining us, we have Wayne with a question. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello.
Wayne. I'm sorry, Wayne. Go ahead.
Yeah. You got me now?
Yes.
Okay. I have a question. First of all, I took a test at birth 3, and it took 18 days to get a verbal response of the test results. So that was disturbing. So it actually, that length of time is exorbitant, and so it really made that test irrelevant. And I'm wondering if there's any way to speed up that test, because I see a lot of people walking around without masks, and they could have been carriers and spreaders. So what's the possibility of speeding up that test result? So I'll take that question to any one of them.
Thanks for that question, Wayne. Hopefully you can hear me.
Okay, and so and then I'm sorry I had to take you. In order for them to hear me, I have to take you off the line, Wayne, so you'll get that answer through your radio. And go ahead. Yeah, that is a question. That is a good question. It has been taking, in some cases, quite a few days. He just said 18 days to get his test. So it sounds like, Abner, you have a response to that.
Yeah, thanks, Maria, and thank you, Wayne, for the question. That is a really good question. The test turnaround time, depending on where you take the test and the reason that you take the test, can vary quite widely in our community currently. Airport test results, for example, we're getting those back between 2 and 3 days in most cases, and sometimes as quick as the next day. In clinic tests, some of them, you'll get them back the same day, depending on which provider you go to and whether you're symptomatic or not. There's a kind of a flow chart as to what testing options they have available to them. Several of our local providers have equipment that can run tests locally, and they'll do that when they need to. And then in other cases, depending on the circumstances, they'll send those tests off to an outside laboratory. I heard your question specifically about the drive-up testing at birth 3, and I apologize that your results took 18 days to come back. We did make an announcement a couple of weeks ago. We were informed by the lab that provides that testing for us that we were going to see a delay in some results. We started announcing that at the drive-up testing, but I believe we did miss, they didn't get us that information before the first group of individuals that impacted, and you may have been in that. And those test results have been taking around 2 weeks or maybe a couple days longer than that, which you're right, it's not useful to us as a community. It's not useful to you as the individual. Starting last week, we have stopped sending tests out to that private lab for now from the drive-up testing, and we're instead sending them to the state public health laboratory. The state public health laboratory is not going to get us next day or 2 day results. The results from there are going to be between 4 and 7 days, but that's much better than 2 weeks. And so until the laboratory down south gets caught back up with their testing, we're sending those drive up test, specimens to the Alaska Public Health Laboratory, which will give us a quicker turnaround.
Let's talk about the various testing options in the community. Let's start about that first. let's just discuss what are the options available to people. Some are free, some are not free, or all of them free, or how does the testing work?
The sites that the EOC operates, we charge for currently the birth 3 drive-up testing on Wednesdays and Thursdays. There's no charge. It's 11 to 1 Wednesday and Thursday each week. Airport test site for travelers and those who are getting retested, that 7 to 14 day retest, there's no charge for that when it's done at the airport site. If you take that retest voucher that you receive to a local provider who agrees to accept it, they can choose to either charge you, they can charge your insurance, they can charge Medicaid if you have that. And then they can ultimately charge the state for the balance of the bill if your insurance doesn't cover it. But they're under no requirement to follow that procedure. And they're under no requirement to choose to participate and accept the voucher in the first place. So the only place we can guarantee a voucher retest is at the airport and that it's free there. And then other than that, many of our local providers are offering testing for COVID in their clinic settings. If you don't have a local provider, you can call 247-TEST, and we will screen you and direct you to a provider if we can help. Or we have a provider that will offer testing from that hotline if you don't have your own provider already. I'm not sure. That's kind of the different locations. Did you want me to talk a little bit about the different machines and the test types? Or?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But also, you know, he was saying it took 18 days for his test. Some you say it can happen the next day. Does it depend on which site you go to that happens? Or is it just how the batches that get processed?
Some of it depends on the site you go to. And these laboratories have a priority system within the samples that are sent to them. So our airport testing site, due to the agreements that are in place, that, for example, is a priority one. Someone who's sick and presents at a clinic as sick is also going to fall into that priority one. The drive-up testing that we're doing is not in priority one. I think it's actually in priority two. But it may be in priority three. And so that's why that test site is seeing a little slower turnaround from the laboratory currently. They can't make every site priority one. And so unfortunately that's one that's not a priority one. So that's really the main difference there, that we're seeing different turnaround times from the same laboratory.
And isn't there a plan to purchase equipment so that this can be done locally?
Several of our providers have equipment already. And then one of the local providers has purchased a BioFire torch. I have not heard recently what the estimated delivery for that is, but when we were within the EOC initially, prior to having a local business step up and want to do that, we were looking at probably around the beginning of September, late August to early September, to have that up and running. And I imagine it'll be roughly the same.
Okay. Mayor Dial, you mentioned, you spoke about the CARES Act funding, and I'd like to ask both mayors separately about what each entity is doing to help help the community with the funding that has been made available. And let's start with you, Borough Mayor Rodney Dial.
Thank you. So the right from the beginning, both the borough and the city have been working together, coordinating their efforts regarding getting money out to the citizens. And so from the start, we decided that we would focus on certain elements. For example, the borough is really focusing on the borough side of things. The city is focusing more on utilities and a few other things like nonprofits. So what we're doing is we're coordinating the distribution of those funds. We're trying to spread them out as much as possible to have the greatest effect in our community. We're trying to keep our businesses going. We're trying to keep our citizens from being evicted from their homes. We're trying to help those who need assistance with their utilities. And basically, we're trying to maintain our economy throughout this process, realizing that the economy supports the livelihood of this community. It supports tax revenue, which supports essential services. So we're really trying to get as much of that money out to the community as possible and get the best bang for the buck. So I can just tell you from the business aspect, recently at the assembly, we tried to expand that so we would also include some of the smaller businesses. Some of those businesses, for example, that opened kind of around the time or right before the start of the pandemic. And for them, you know, they kind of got caught in a real bind because they didn't have a track record of revenue in which to justify some of these federal funds. So anyway, what we're doing is we're working together. We're getting that money out there, and we're doing the best we can for the citizens of the community.
And the funding is coming in waves. Is that not correct? Like, there's a first amount of money that needs to be spent by a certain date and then other money later. Am I correct on that?
Correct. So we have to spend approximately 80% of our first round of stimulus funding before we can get the other amounts. So right now we're in the process of distributing several million dollars into the community. And, you know, hopefully here within the next month or so, we'll start working on the second round of that stimulus. And it sounds like Congress is going to actually pass more as well. So, you know, just as fast as we can get it out there, but we also want to make sure that we're spending that money wisely and investing it for the future of our community.
And has there been a large response from businesses and individuals seeking help?
There has. You know, it's actually it's been mixed, and we've seen some of those businesses actually come before the assembly, and I know they've done the same at the city council. You know, there's a lot of people that are hurting in this community, and we realize that. And you know, it's troubling to us. It's our friends and it's our neighbors. So all I can tell you is that we're very receptive to feedback from the public. We're modifying these policies as we go, and we'll continue to do so. I mean, the number one thing is we want to pull this community through this pandemic and keep as many of our businesses as viable as possible.
Okay, and Ketchikan City Mayor Bob Sievertson, comments about what the city is doing.
Thank you. You know, it's a continuous means of adjustment as we go through this. As the needs are defined, we try to make those adjustments. Like the borough said, we added some stuff to the small business to capture some of those people that were left out. There was changes made in regards to whether you had applied for funds prior, whether that made you eligible or ineligible, and we've made our way through those. we're seeing where the monies are used. We partnered with some nonprofits in order to try to get that money out quicker and respond to the needs of the community. There's applications online. You can go to borough websites and city websites, whether it be for utility, mortgage, daycare assistance, that type of stuff. So the intent is to get the money out there as quick and help people where the need arises. And I think the keeping the people from being evicted, being able to pay their mortgage, keep their lights on, we're going to see some heating support as we start to move out of summer into the fall. And we're just going to keep our eye on it. And hopefully we meet the marks that we need to. The second round will give us some more options. We'll have to sit down jointly, as Mayor Dial had talked about, is the fact that we communicate with each other often on different levels, whether it be in the public meetings itself or between the staff, to make sure that we're on the same page moving forward to help the community.
Okay. And I should point out, we have maybe 10 minutes left in this show. The time flies. So if you have questions, please call in now, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. Again, we just have a few minutes in this program left, so get those calls in now. I have a question with regards to, it was announced that August 11th, there will no longer be testing non-resident travelers at the airports. What will that mean? And will there still be testing at the Ketchikan Airport for local travelers?
So, Abner, do you want to take that, or would you like me to do it?
I'll start off, Bob, if that's okay, and then I'll let you speak to it as well, if you like, or Mayor Dial. There is a lack of detail right now, Maria. This was just announced by the governor last night, and we actually, other than the one slide that was up during the media event, press event, that's about as much detail as we currently have as well. We know that beginning August 11th, any non-resident travelers arriving in Alaska will have to arrive with a test already completed and results in hand within 72 hours of their travel. What we don't know yet is anything about the plan for enforcement. We don't know whether this is going to come out in a health mandate or a health advisory or some other format. We don't know whether the airline is going to be asked to do this at check-in and not allow passengers to board who can't provide proof, for example, because that's a whole different situation than if they allow them on the aircraft and they show up here in Ketchikan without that proof in hand. So before we can really speak to what exactly that looks like on certain portions, we're going to need more detail from the governor's office. We expect to get that probably this week or by the beginning of next week. As far as testing at the airport, what we did gather from that is that there will continue to be testing available for residents who are arriving from out of state. So I anticipate that we will still have the test site operating based on that. But the state of Alaska is funding that current operation, and until we hear from the test site coordinator any additional details, I can't promise that. But just based on what I saw on the press event last night, I believe that we're going to still have testing available at the airport for those folks that are arriving and are residents.
Okay, and I know a lot. There's been a lot of discussion about masks. Some people feel they should be mandated. Some people feel it's up to them whether they choose to wear them or not. Is there any authority? Does the city, the borough, or any other entity locally have any authority to mandate that? I know private businesses have chosen to require masks, but is there any, if things got very serious, does the city or borough or other entity locally have authority to mandate something like that?
I think that's a good question. I would like to, before we go to that one, though, I think Mayor Severson actually wanted to talk a little bit about the travel as well.
Yeah, thank you, Abner. Yeah, so again, we're going to wait for the governor's office and the state to give us some direction in regards to how we respond to a traveler that may arrive without a test. But I want to make sure that the residents of Alaska understand that there's still going to be testing available to them as they travel around the state. And there's also, you know, right now we're testing those individuals coming from out of state. But as we see the pandemic spread inside the state, we may ask for a broader perspective and be able to test those individuals that are traveling between communities or from hotspots in the state. But as the governor said, it's in regards to having the resources to test Alaskans and to support Alaskans first. And they're having they have a significant stockpile right now, but as it grows through the United States and the lower 48, Alaska is seeing more and more demand on those resources. So he's trying to mitigate some of that by reducing the need to travel to test those travelers coming from out of state that can get those tests in their own state.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we do actually have some callers right now, so let's hold my question and let's get to our callers since we have limited time here. And again, I'm going to have to be tricky here to get this person on the phone, so hang on, or get them on the air. So hang on just a moment here. And we have Michelle with a question, and hold on just a second, Michelle, before you start, so I can make sure that they can hear you.
Thank you, brother.
Okay, go ahead, Michelle.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was interested in the help with the Marine and the stimulus grant for the Marine my mortgage.
I'm not sure I understand exactly. So, is there some sort of mortgage opportunity?
I think I heard that when those gentlemen
yes, sir,
were talking.
So yes, sir. The city of Ketchikan set some of the CARES Act money aside for mortgage assistance. And so if there's an application that proves that they've been impacted by COVID and it hampers their ability in regard to the mortgage, and again, it's a need-based system, so they can make those applications to the city of Ketchikan.
And that's available on the city of Ketchikan website. If you go to ktn-ak.us, the all of the COVID-19 CARES Act funding information is available right on the front page, and you can click on mortgage subsidy and it will have all the details and how you apply for it.
Okay, great. And then I think we just have time for one more question here, and joining us we have Martha.
Hello, good morning.
Go ahead, Martha.
Oh, good morning. I was quite surprised and truly dismayed when I found out on, I guess, Monday. My son returned from Bristol Bay via Anchorage on Sunday night and was too tired to get tested at that point, quarantined until the morning, then headed to the airport to get tested, and come to find out they were not testing, do not test residents. And you may have already answered this question or addressed it, and I'm sorry if I didn't hear it. It just blows my mind that we have residents traveling all around the country through hotspots and have to wait for their, two times a week on the dock. I'm wondering what options residents have on a 24/7 basis. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Martha, and we'll take that answer. I have to take you offline for them to hear me. So that is an interesting question. Is that the case, that residents don't necessarily have to be tested when they come
back
to
the... Thanks for that question, Martha. I think you may not have all the correct information. We do test residents at the traveler testing site located at the ferry terminal dock on the Ketchikan side. We test those who are arriving from out of state. We do that program on behalf of the state of Alaska, and the people that they are have us doing that for is travelers arriving from out of state. We are not testing travelers, in-state travelers at that site. It's not one of our allowed population that we can test. If someone arrives from in-state travel, we do allow that testing at the Berth 3 drive-up testing. If you want it for free, some providers will also do that. If you contact your local provider, they may offer that testing as well. We are interested in and looking at options to pursue with the increase in cases. Like Mayor Sievertson said a little while ago, we are looking to pursue options for providing in-state traveler testing as well. And so there'll be more to come on that in the future.
And is that a state, is that a state mandate not to test in-state resident travelers?
It's not a mandate not to test them. It's the fact that this program, that the traveler testing sites were implemented to support the mandate that requires testing of the out-of-state travelers who are arriving. And as part of that, you know, they don't want us testing regular community members who come up and want to test for whatever reason, symptomatic, et cetera. The purpose of the program is to test travelers arriving from out of state.
Okay. All right. We are pretty much out of time. I'll give each of you, I guess, a minute or two to wrap up. If there's anything else that you really wanted to cover today, it sounds like maybe we'll have to arrange this again another time to get more questions out there. But as any other last minute thoughts from any of you? If you want to read.
I'm going to let the mayor speak.
So thank you, Maria. I think that the basics that we've always known that works is washing your hands, social distancing, masks are optional when you're not able to do the social distancing. And I think that keeping your social groups small, manage your gatherings appropriately, I think that's what we need to continue to do. And as the governor has called for the next 3 weeks, that we just spend a little extra time seeing what we're doing. So thank you.
Okay, and Mayor Dial?
Thanks, Maria. So I'm slightly concerned by the increase in numbers, but I believe that they're going to go down soon for a number of reasons. First is because of the governor's change yesterday regarding non-resident travel. I think that's going to greatly reduce those that come into Alaska and test positive. I think in the weeks ahead, we're going to see seasonal workers start to go home. Non-resident travel is going to begin to decline. And I think rapid testing is going to soon come online, which will be supportive as well. So I would just encourage the people to stay strong, stay positive, stay kind, right? Don't attack people because they might view this a little bit differently than you. We can ride this out and be proud of how we handled this event at the end. So I would just encourage everybody to love your neighbor, and we'll get through this. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining me this morning. Thank you again, Abner Hoag, Rodney Dial, and Bob Sievertson. And again, it sounds like we could probably have an hour more of questions going, so we might hook up with all of you again. And obviously, we check in with the EOC and get updates, and we will do our best to get those updates out to the community as well.
Maria.
All right.